6, and we'll have communion. And then the other part of communion is, I don't know if Tom Warren breaks up here, not just the shake hand, meet and greet. You get just to hang out and fellowship. That's a very special time. John chapter 6. And we have more music to come. Oh my, we're just getting started. Glad there's lunch downstairs, because if you were waiting to have it at home, you might put it on hold. We never have a service that lasts more than 3 hours, so you should. Everybody runs for the door. No, no! Oh, gosh. John chapter 6. And this is an opportunity for Jesus to see who's really interested in what he has to offer and the way he presented himself. John chapter 6, verses 53 through 58. For those of you that are looking forward in your swords, and also it's on the screen. And in the earlier part of that chapter, Jesus talked about the manna that God sustained the Israelites with, and it was supernatural bread that came down from heaven. And I don't know how much it was like bread, but it fed them and nourished them. And they had to pick it up to eat it. But it sustained them for 40 years. And yet, Jesus said, you know, that did fine for you guys back then. But the problem with it was, it didn't offer you what I've come to offer you. I'm the true bread that came down from heaven. And if any man eats of this bread, he will never die. Your fathers ate bread back in the manna days and in the desert, and they still died. But he said, but this bread, and he was talking about himself. The opening scripture started at 53, but I just want to get that line up, go back to 50, 51. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread. Say living bread.
Living bread.
He's not dead bread, he's living bread. He lives and he will never die again. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves. They had a hard time with that. Strove means to struggle, to labor. That was a hard word for them to hear. Saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? The critical spirit sets in. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And there's the crux of the gospel right there. I mean, if you didn't know anything else that was about to happen, Jesus made an invitation. When he said, verily, verily, there are a lot of different versions of the scriptures. I have the NIV for that one. But Jesus said, verily, verily, it's like truly, truly, surely, surely, that what he's about to bring to us is the purest form of truth that there ever could be. And it's the words that are about to come out of his mouth. I say unto you, there's no other way that you're ever going to even have the concept of eternal life except this one condition. And he was preparing them already for Calvary, even though it's early in the Gospel of John. It's not always in chronological order, if you haven't noticed. But he was already come to present himself as the one whom the prophets spoke of. And he wasn't received very well in the original religious, cold-minded people, those who were looking for that hope. Jesus filled that hope because he to produce hope with his message that he preached. But he presented himself. If you're heaven bound in your mind, then you need to let me run this by you. You're not getting there except you come through me. There's no other way. You can do all of your religious deeds. You can do your good works. You can do all of those things. That's great. You should do those. Those help people. But I have a work to do too. And my work is going to be done on the cross. We talked about that during the last couple of weeks. And but he said, but if you don't partake of me, then there's not going to be any life, last breath, because it's going to be it. That's the only hope you'll have, is you eat, live, and be happy and die, but that's going to be it. There's not going to be any life eternal. But the Word of God promises us eternal life, and it's a life where Jesus said that we would never die. But I want to show you some interesting things about that statement. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, he said, you have no life in you. That's a really hard statement, because already they're thinking, oh God, he's a cannibal. How else could you explain that? Well, they're not thinking, if you were there in times where we weren't born again, nobody could to indwell us, to live among us, and you heard some guy standing up and saying something like that, would you not entertain that thought? Oh my God, he's going to eat us. You know, I mean, Joe Biden got up and did a little story about his uncle and claimed that somebody ate him. This is all connected. I don't know how the Spirit just does stuff like this, but it's... You would think that. You couldn't not think that. Listen to it. He didn't just say that again. He said, whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. What would you think if somebody stood up in front of you and talked to you like that? I mean, you got to put yourself where they were at spiritually. You know, it's wonderful. We have the book, and we can read. But it's really good to go do back in time, way back then, and just listen to what he said. But we could only hear it with our physical ears, because the Spirit hadn't been given yet to give them revelation of even who he was. And sometimes we forget that. We overlook that because we're on this side of the cross. They were on before the cross. And here comes this guy that John the Baptist talked about, and they thought he was loose. For my flesh is real food and my drink. Now I'm back to the NIV. For my flesh is meat indeed. But he said, I will raise them up at the last day. And that phrase, the last day, caught my eye. I've read these scriptures thousands upon thousands of times. But he said, at the last day. And I want to come back to that a little bit later, because that's where we'll go into more of the scriptures. But for the communion, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Verse 56, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. In John chapter 15, Jesus did a teaching about the vineyard. The Word abiding in us and we abiding in the Word. You can ask anything that you will, and my Father will grant you that. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Now, when we got born again, God brought eternal life to the spirit man. We are now a spirit. I call it our earth suit. We have a living spirit in our earth suit. It's our suit of flesh that we need for this life. But it's the Holy Spirit who gave us a new life, and he gave us a part of us that is eternal, and that's the spirit man. that part of us will not die. But when we die, we go into ground and return to the dust of the earth. Our body does. But the spirit man does not die. And that's one of the differences about when he said the life that he would give us is eternal life and that we would not die. But then I'm going to come back to at the last day and share with you 11 other people that the Lord raised up. They had the joy of dying twice. They hadn't received eternal life yet. But we have, and it's our promise from Jesus. So when we hand these out to you, I want you to be excited about today, because I know we do this on a regular basis, but each time there's a different element that the Holy Spirit seems to bring out. And the fact that if you look around the room, you might look around and make some judgments and say, well, probably all the guys with gray hair or no hair, they'll probably go next, and all the younger ones, they'll be here to come to our hallelujah party. Whatever they think, that's okay. We all have that same promise. And yes, it's true. Some of us may check out before others. But don't you weep. Don't you mourn. You need to rejoice. You need to be glad. Because I will remind you, you all have an appointment. And that's the one that you will all keep. Every one of us. The book of Hebrews talks about that. It is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. That's the other last day. Think about that. Think about eternity. And think about how long you've lived, how long you've been saved, how long you've been saved. And think about how you're familiar with how the Lord communicates with you. The Spirit speaks with you. He leads you. He guides you. It's all because of those words that Jesus said. Because the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life, that was the best snack you ever had. That's the best bread you ever had. I do try to find 7-grain wheat bread, though, you know, because Jesus called himself a corn of wheat. So I try to be complete, and the number 7 is complete. So if you have some of this bread, you're going to be complete in him. Tell you, it's a joyful occasion. Some people look sorrowful, like the pallbearers that take up the offerings. We have pallbearers to take off the offering givers. No, we're not really. I want you to think about this as real joy to your spirit, man. This is an exciting time. Exciting time. And you just read what he said, and you intake that. And you know, when we do eat the bread, it's like within seconds, it goes to the stomach, and the stomach goes, that's not whole wheat bread. I like rye bread. You got to learn to tell your stomach to shut up, because it'll run your life. You tell your stomach in the name of Jesus, you'll eat when I say you eat, and guess what, bud? You're eating what I give you. Shut up. That's how you learn to take care of your flesh. It starts with your stomachs. I don't know how this is all connected, but it really is, because we're going to eat the bread. Okay? And within moments, if the stomach does what God created it to do, the nutrients that are in that bread are going to all of your bloodstream, and any of you medical professionals know that the food, your belly, all of it's connected. You need food. But Jesus knows there's another food that we need. And as that bread dissolves and it gets dispersed to every cell in our body, when you partake of Jesus, however it happens, I don't know, Jesus said it would, and I just believe it did, and I've been doing it a long time, and I'm still living. And I like living. Living's better than trying, because trying leads to dying. You don't just try, you do it. And this bread will be in you and through you and upon you all the rest of the days of your life. And that's what he was talking about. It's a relationship. It's not just about just eating the bread. It's what it means, who it is. We partake of him. And that's what makes it new and alive every time we do it, because it never dies. We may do it often. Jesus said, as often as you do it. What did he say? Do it what? You said those words in remembrance of me. Didn't you say those words, Anna? This is not a script, folks. This is spontaneous today again. And I'm trying to show you, if you haven't already figured it out when we come together, these things don't happen by just happenstance. I didn't even know she was coming. I didn't know she was going to do that song. I didn't know she was going to talk about the bread and the wine. And here we are. Here we are. Let's do it. And Ken and Andy are bringing the bread to you. I just want you to take a minute before we do this. And instructions were that he said each one of us examine our hearts so that we don't do this in a wrong spirit. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful occasion that we can literally, as Anna said, come and break bread together and drink the cup of your blood. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit will show us, have we wounded someone this week? Have we mistreated anyone this week? Have we said words that hurt people instead of lifting them up and bringing encouragement? Have we in our own doing sinned your word? Do we stand guilty before you in any area? And Father, if the answer is yes, then truly 1 John 1:9 is so important. If any of us have sinned, let us confess it to you now, Father. The Holy Spirit will show each of us where we missed it, where we fell short of the mark. But Father, we want to do this in a right spirit, in a right relationship, and not dishonor the work of the cross by holding back stuff. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We were already judged at the cross, and you found us all guilty. But you pardoned us. And you forgave our sins. And you chose not to remember them anymore. And they're in the sea of forgetfulness. And so, Father, we thank you that now we can receive all the benefits of this that you designed that this communion table would be for us. And it's a preview of when we get down and sit down at your table in heaven, when we really feast at your table that David talked about in Psalm 23. And we thank you today for the new life that this represents for each one of us, and that we have that chance every day to participate. We are one with you, you and us, and we and you, and together we're one with each other all over the world, believers. We're all part of your body, and it is a privilege to be sons and daughters of our King and the Most High God, the God above all other gods. There is no other God like you, and that you chose us from before the foundation of the world, and this is celebrating it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's hard to do this with a straight face because it's just such joy. And that's different than just being happy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Imagine that kind of love that the Father had, that we should be called the sons of God. Did not John say that? Behold, what manner of love the Father has, that we should be called the sons of God, sons and daughters. Yeah, it's not what we're going to be. It's what we are. That's right, John. It's what we are. Never forget. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of him. So, Father, you taught us we're not to pray to Jesus, but we're to pray in the name of Jesus. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Jesus. Here together today, breaking this bread and celebrating that new life that you've given of us. And Father, we're so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew 26, Jesus said about the blood and about the cup. He said, this blood is the new covenant, which I celebrate with you, but I won't do it again until a later time. And because when he gave his life, that was the later time. At the cross, and he shed his blood. And he said he wouldn't drink it again until it was in the new covenant, anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Well, he's having it with us today. We're in the kingdom. We're on this side of the cross now. And all of this becomes very pertinent. And that blood will never lose its power. It will never lose its strength. And it's already on the mercy seat in heaven. So if you're having an issue with somebody you can't get along with, just thank God that his will is that that person gets saved too. Because that blood that Jesus shed, and he took it and put it on the mercy seat in heaven, it's already there for the person that you have an issue with. Let that go. But think about where this blood is. See, it's too late to deny it. It's already happened. See, the naysayers, they're just talking and making noise. And when they try to attack these things, they do it out of not understanding. Many of them don't believe it. They don't know. And neither did we until the Holy Spirit revealed these things were true. But that blood is already there for every person that's ever lived, that's alive now, or that ever will. The job is done. Did we not read together in Hebrews about that blood already being there? And it's the one offering. There'll never need to be another one. There is no other one offering of Jesus and his blood. So when this comes around, you're getting the protection and what he's already done. But not only that, but the provision that's already been made for each of us. And like John says, we don't have to think about who we were. It's who we are. It's who we are now because of what Christ has done. And we're all one. And this blood has cleansed every one of us squeaky clean. Better than ivory snow. And I say that because even that was 99.44% pure, but this is 100%. So ivory snow has to sit in the back row for a while. You know, so this is the real thing. Go ahead.
The blood that Jesus shed for me.
Way back on Calvary,
it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to highest mountains and it grows. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
Thank you, Jesus.
Some of them are doing this behind your back. No, I want you to see something about this blood. Take your cup and hold it up in front of a person, just any one of us. Can you see me through that cup? Hold it right up there. You can't, can you?
Nope.
And you know what? That's what God sees. That's the real you. He sees you spotless, blemish-free, exactly in the image, and he no longer sees our sins because they're under this blood. Oh, please. Absolutely. Yes. Amen. To his return.
Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That was really